All right, we're back. Yes. So I had to ask, is anyone here afraid of spiders? Let me see those hands again. Anybody? Come on, hold them up. Be proud. I'm terrified of spiders. Oh, my goodness. Yes. But I know that I'm not the only one with a fear here. So if I hit your fear, just, you know, slip up your hand. Unless you're afraid of slipping up your hand, then, you know, just whatever. Number one fear in America, fear of speaking in public. Anybody? Fear of speaking in public? How about fear of heights? Heights? Anybody? Yeah, fear of heights. How about needles? Fear of needles? Yeah, yeah. Tight spaces. Anybody claustrophobia? Claustrophobia, tight spaces? A few of you? You're the ones where it's like, can I please have just a little bit more space in this row? Listen, I will speak in public on the edge of a cliff in a tight space with a needle in my arm. But if you drop a spider into that, oh man, I am gonna lose my mind. I'm gonna hit fetal position really fast. I am not the one that kills the spiders at my house. Oh my goodness. We had a spider that was like that big crawling up the steps. It's like, Andrew, there's a spider. We were at a youth camp, and we were in this lodge, Cedar Lodge. We were just hanging out, playing games, and there were a couple of girls hanging out, and one of the girls looks over at her friend, and she looks over and she says, there is a spider in your hair. I mean, you can imagine what happens next. She's just like, ah, you know, like 30 seconds, just screaming, throwing her hair everywhere. Ah, spider, spider. She stops. She's like, still there. 30 more seconds of screaming. Literally, I turn into that girl when I see a spider. You're like, didn't you just do a message called Act Like Men? Yes, I did. The struggle is real. It's real. We all face fears. We all face fears in this world. And then when you add another layer of being a follower of Jesus Christ, it adds another layer of fear. And what I've experienced and what I've seen in my own life, as I have followed Jesus Christ, is that I've noticed I've faced one fear after another. Many of you have done the same. You can't be a follower of Jesus Christ and not face some fears. It could be the fear of opening up about your faith, maybe in the workplace, could be in your public school. Could be a fear of doing something difficult God has asked you to do, to step out in faith. Maybe you're facing the prospect of some sort of pain or difficulty. You're afraid of suffering well. Could be the fear of finances and giving generously to the church. We face so many fears. The fear of living wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ. Could be the fear of, I picture the Good Samaritan, and I think about how many people just walked right on by, and there was one person that crossed the road to help. What kept them on the other side of the road? It was fear. And maybe there's someone in your life that God is calling you to love. And there's the need for the courage to cross the street and to love that person. I don't know what fears you might be facing today, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we're going to face fears. There's going to be fear in our life. What is fear? Fear is a natural gut-level response to a life of faith. Fear is a natural, it's natural. It is a gut-level response to a life of faith. Why do you say that? Because faith is risk, right? Faith is risk, and risk is scary. So as followers of Jesus Christ, we will face some fears in this world today. I think about the people I know that are living wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ, and they're facing some fears in their life. I've faced fears. You will too. And that's what I love about 2 Timothy. as we get into 2 Timothy today, this is a book, this is a letter that is going to inspire fearlessness in our life. 2 Timothy is written by the Apostle Paul. And if you don't know much about Paul, there's one thing we know about the Apostle Paul, and that he was fearless. In fact, he is writing 2 Timothy from a prison cell in Rome. He was arrested and thrown in jail for his fearlessness with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this was not the first time that he had been in jail in Rome. The very first time Paul was in prison, it was a minimum security prison. It was house arrest. People were allowed to come and go. And it was during that time that Paul wrote 4 letters in our New Testament. These are prison epistles is what they call them. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. They were all written during this first imprisonment in Rome. And if you read those letters, you realize that Paul expects to be released from prison. And he was. Now, Paul is in prison for a second time. It's AD 64. He's in prison a second time, and he is chained like a criminal, and he is cut off. And he does not expect to be released. He fully expects to be executed. And he was executed. So what we have here, we see that in 2 Timothy 4:6. The time for my departure is near. So 2 Timothy, we have the very last words of the Apostle Paul in Scripture. These are his last words to Timothy. They're his last words to us. And what is his message? Be fearless. Live fearlessly. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. But live fearlessly for Jesus Christ. It's a message he gave to Timothy. It's God's message to us, to the church today. So we're going to read and look at 2 Timothy together. Today we'll be in 2 Timothy 1, and I have 3 affirmations for you that are going to inspire you to live more fearlessly for Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dive in. I've got 3 quick affirmations for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that we can be here, that we have the freedom to worship you without fear of being arrested or tossed in jail. And we're reminded of brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who truly live fearlessly for you. And I pray, God, that we would begin to take courage and to live more fearlessly for you as well. So we ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our hearts today. You'd set our hearts on fire to live genuinely and authentically and fearlessly for you. Speak to us today through your word. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 3 quick affirmations to inspire us to live more fearlessly. Here's my first affirmation. Number 1, faith lives in me too. And here's what I ask you guys to do. As we give these affirmations, let's say them all together, okay? So we're going to do faith lives in me too. 1, 2, 3. Faith lives in me too. Faith lives in me too. That's powerful. It's a powerful affirmation. It's what Paul affirms in Timothy. So 2 Timothy 1, we're going to start in verse 1. Here we go. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son. Timothy's like Paul's protege. So he says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Hey, Timothy, faith lives in you too. That is a powerful affirmation. And what does Paul say about Timothy's faith? He says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. What does that mean, that word sincere? It means genuine, right? Authentic, real. And here at Hope, we encourage genuineness. We want everybody here to have a faith that lives inside of them, faith that is real. We're not here to be fake. We're not here because we're trying to earn our way to heaven. This isn't about religion. This is about a real faith living in our hearts. For all of our children, for all of our teenagers, I've got two little ones. What am I praying for them? God, would you give them a faith that is real? And how does that happen? How do we pass on a living faith to our children, to our youth, to our grandchildren, to our adult children? What do we see in this passage? We see that parents and grandparents are primary. Don't we see that? Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and now lives in you. Three generations of faith. That is the power of home. And what we see is that parents and grandparents, we have a primary role in passing down a living faith to our children and our grandchildren. And what we need to realize is that home is the primary place where faith passes down from generation to generation. And study after study is revealing that today. And what we're finding and what has always been true since the very beginning is that parents, no one shapes the worldview of your children more than you do. Not schools, not your children's friends, not the church, nothing. All of those are secondary. Parents, you're first. Grandparents, you are second, and everything else is a distant third. So how do we pass on a living faith to our children? We have to have a faith that's real. Jesus has to be important to us. So yeah, we're going to partner with the church. We want to get our kids here, get them into our Kids Connect, get them to youth ministry. We're partnering with the church. But at the end of the day, parents, you're primary. We heard a great quote this weekend at the Global Leadership Summit. I don't know who said it, but just so it really struck me. Somebody said, maybe the greatest impact you're going to have on this world is not something you do, but someone you raise. So powerful. And our faith, a living faith, is going to speak volumes to our children, to our adult children, to our grandchildren. But that's our heart, is that faith would live in them, and it happens at home. This is a powerful declaration. Faith lives in me too. And I hope that you'll affirm this in your life. Some of you are here today, you don't know if you have a living faith. You don't know if your faith is real. Don't leave here today without talking to me or talking to somebody. But many of you, you're here and you have a faith that's real. Your faith is living inside of you. So here's what I want you to do. Here's what I'm going to do. When we're out there, we're going to be real with people. Because faith lives in me. And I wouldn't be sincere with you if I didn't tell you that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and he's the most important thing in my life. And if you don't know that about me, you really don't know me. You guys know what I'm talking about? So my neighbors know I'm a Christian. My barber knows what I believe. Man, if Jesus lives in you, if somebody doesn't know that about you, they don't know you. So all I'm saying is, let's be real and genuine with the people around us. We don't need to hide this. Just, hey, I got to be sincere with you. I'm going to keep it 100. We're going to keep it real out there. Faith lives in me too. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not insecure about that. It's a powerful affirmation. You guys see what I'm saying? I don't want us to be out there and to hide this. We're just going to keep it real. Faith lives in me too. Because that's a real thing in my heart. First affirmation right there. To live more fearlessly. If you can say that, faith lives in me too. Not just here, but out there. It's going to be powerful. Second affirmation for a more fearless faith. Oh, I love this one. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. Let's say that together. 1, 2, 3. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. Yes, that's awesome. This is another affirmation Paul gives Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 8. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. So this is a confirming laying on of hands. There is a gift of God in you. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid. That's not the Spirit God gave you. But God gives us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Yeah, Timothy, I'm in jail. Yeah, Timothy, if you go out and you tell people about Jesus, you might not feel safe. It might not feel comfortable. You might get arrested. You might get thrown in jail. But Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. Why? Because, Timothy, there is a fearlessness burning inside of you. Now look around the room. There is a followers of Jesus Christ, there is a fearlessness burning inside of you. What is that? Paul says, the Spirit God gave you. Let me tell you something about who you are. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. If you're a follower of Jesus today, you have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. We see that in places like Ephesians 1:13. Having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Having believed, you received the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you have received the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. It is not a spirit of fear. And when you feel afraid, when you feel insecure, this is what you need to say to your fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. This fear is not from God. And when fear comes knocking on the door, we're answering in faith. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. That's not from God. I'm not going to be afraid. Because the Spirit God gave me is a spirit power, love, self-discipline. I want to hit these real quick. It's the spirit of power. You guys believe that about yourself? There's a spirit of power living inside of you. The Greek word here for power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite. Oh, I can't make an impact in my family. I don't know if I can live for Christ on my workplace. I don't know if I can be genuine about my faith in Jesus in the halls of my public school. No, no, no. There is a spirit of power living in you. The dynamite power of God lives in you. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. That spirit lives in you. The spirit of power. It is a spirit of love. The word love there is a Greek word, agape. And maybe you've heard of agape love. I love this concept of love. Agape love it's what you might call Christian love. It's what believers were known for all through the ages. Agape love is God's love. It's the way that God loves us. Unconditional love. See, human love, love on the human level, that's that affection, that feeling you have for another person. But agape love is unconditional love. I'm going to love you no matter what. No matter how I feel about you, no matter how you treat me, I'm going to love you anyways. I love you unconditionally. And that spirit of love lives in you. God has given you the power to love the people he has put in your life. He's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and the last one, self-discipline. This Greek word is a long one. Haha, testing my skills here. Sophronismos. It flows, it's Greek. Sophronismos. It's difficult to translate. Different translations put it differently. One says self-control, another says self-discipline, another says a sound mind. But here's the gist of this difficult word to say and to translate. It's all about having a mind and a life that's under control and disciplined. And what I was asking as I was looking at this is why is discipline needed in the midst of fear? I think we all know, like, oh yeah, self-discipline, that's good for a holy life. But why is discipline important for fearlessness? And I came across this guy, David Burke, and he spent 23 years as an elite combat fighter pilot. And he'd be flying missions in dangerous parts of the world. And I love what he says. He says, and he's being very, very real about his fear as a combat fighter pilot. He said, I was scared a lot. I was scared of crashing, of being wounded. I was scared of dying, he said. And then this is what he said. He said, the only thing that gets you through is discipline. Think about that. These guys going into battle, they're terrified. And what gets them through? The discipline. There's a book, it's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. That's the power of discipline. It's the ability to do the will of God, even when you're scared. Ever been in that like small group where everybody's praying out loud? And you're terrified to pray out loud? Yeah. Been there. What does discipline do? You know what? I'm scared, but I'm going to pray anyways. That's the spirit God has given us. It lives inside of us. And so we affirm this in our lives, and I affirm this in your life, that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That spirit lives in you. So we fan that into flame. I remember when my wife and I just got married. Moved into a house, and I got my first gas grill. Like, I'm super proud of this. I'm excited to fire it up. We got the hamburgers, you know, all ready to go. Never started a grill in my entire life. Like, I'm young here. I'm like, okay, so what do we do? I'm like, well, we need propane.
It's like, turn on the propane. I'm like, okay, how does this thing make fire now? So close the lid, and I'm turning the dials, like high. Maybe it needs to be on high. So I turn them all to high. And then I'm like pushing the button, you know, the igniter, click, 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 click. Like, oh, it's not working. And then I notice that you have to spark it. This is taking some time now, and the propane's still going. So I turn it to the spark. Then I'm like, spark? Let's see how that looks. Boom! You know, there's a huge fireball comes out. And I don't know what I did, but I threw my hands, you know, up to protect my face. I had no more hair on my knuckles. I was checking my eyebrows like, oh, please let my eyebrows still be here. You know, like, and then I was like, okay, that was crazy. Because there was just a giant fireball, you know, that engulfed me. Folks, the Spirit of God burns in you. And what Paul says, fan it into flame. Just lift the lid and see what God can do in your life when you live fearlessly for Him. Last affirmation. I want to affirm these in our life. First one. Second one, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Last one, I know whom I've believed. Let's say that together. I know whom I believe. One, two, three. I know whom I have believed. Don't just say that here. Start saying that all the time. I know whom I believed. Don't mess with me. Just kidding. Do you know whom you believed? All right, this is another affirmation Paul gives Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 9 through 12. He, God, has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Amen. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But now it's been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who destroyed death. Like, we just destroyed the other team. You know, like, that's not like he like stopped death. He avoided death. No, he destroyed death. And has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the message of Jesus. And this gospel, this message of Jesus, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. We're going to face all kinds of fears in this life. Following Jesus Christ adds another layer. And you can't be a follower of Jesus and not face some fears. My wife and I were youth pastors for many years, and one of our favorite things was to pour into our students. And the discipleship book that was really a staple for our youth ministry is this book we're going to put up on the screen. It's called Do Hard Things. We got to hear a little bit of that earlier. The young people in our church who are doing hard things for God. Isn't that awesome? So cool. And that's what we would do as youth pastors, is we would challenge our teenagers to do hard things for God. Here's what's great about this book. It's not written by an adult. It's written by teenagers, encouraging other teenagers to rebel against the low expectations that this world has for them, and to rise up and to do hard things for God. Well, that's pretty awesome to teach. Until God asks you to do something hard. Which, God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? So just be careful what you teach. And the day came when God asks us to do something hard and to stand in front of our students back at our home church and say, we love you guys. And God is calling us to do something hard. He's calling us to leave our family, to leave our friends, to leave our church, and to go to this church in Willow Grove to be pastors there. But God is calling us to do a hard thing. And you got to know that there was some fear in that. You guys have been awesome. This church has been awesome. And we felt all kinds of love. But there were moments when we were scared. God, what are you doing? Where is this going? And this is the declaration that got us through. I know whom I have believed. That is a statement you need in the back pocket. When fear comes knocking, answer in faith. I know whom I've believed. And who is this God that we have believed? He's a God who saved you. Not because anything you did, because of his purpose and grace. It's a God who loves you unconditionally, no matter what, no strings attached, from before the beginning of time. That's how long God has loved you. It's a God who destroyed death and brought life and immortality to life. If we believe in a God who raises the dead, do you think he can handle our fears? Oh, yeah. I know whom I have believed. And there's a chapter in Do Hard Things. It's called That First Scary Step. Isn't the first step always the scariest into the unknown? And in that chapter, there's a great story. It goes like this. There's an interesting map is on display in the British Museum in London. It's an old mariner's chart. You guys know those old maps? I love old maps. This one was drawn in 1525, and it outlines the North American coastline. The cartographer made some interesting notations along the North American coastline. These areas of the map represented regions not yet explored. This was 1525. A lot of this area hadn't been explored by the Europeans. So this is what the cartographer wrote on the shores of North America. Here be giants. Here be scorpions. Here be dragons. Okay, are any of those things real? No. Right? Was that truth? When they were marking, you know, that was fear, right? Do you guys know what fear stands for? F-E-A-R? False expectations appearing real. Here's what's amazing. Years later, a British explorer named Sir John Franklin came into possession of this map. And scratching out the fearful inscriptions, he wrote these fearless words, "Here be God." So here's my challenge. You're facing the unknown. You're facing fears. You're facing sickness, pain, cancer. Scratch out those inscriptions and write, "Here be God." Here be God. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who he is. I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I know who he is. My God is right here in this prison with me. My God is right here in this uncertainty with me. My God is right here in this sickness with me. Here be God. And no, I'm not ashamed. And no, I'm not afraid, because I know whom I have believed. And this is what I've learned about fear. I used to think that courage was the opposite of fear. But that's actually not true. The opposite of fear is trust. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him. So we'll leave you with these three affirmations. Take them with you. Affirm these in your life. This is what God is speaking to you today. Faith lives in me too. I'm just going to be real with you. Faith lives in me. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. And I know whom I have believed. So I'm going to ask Andrew to come on up. And I want to pray for you. So would you stand? We want to pray against the fears that assault us. What are you afraid of? Maybe you're afraid of being alone. Maybe you're afraid of some difficulty that you're walking through. Maybe you look at the bank account and there's fear there. Maybe you think about your children. There's fear there. Right now, listen, perfect love casts out fear. God has loved you perfectly and completely. So there is no fear in this moment. There is no fear in this room. He's not given you a spirit of fear. He loves you. He gave his life for you on a cross. He rose from the dead so that you could be fearless, even as he was fearless. So God, all across the room today, we hand you our fears. Fear of the unknown. Fear of difficulty. Fear of broken relationships. Heavenly Father, you love us. You know exactly what we're going through. We give you our fears. Take them, Lord. Take all fear in Jesus' name. Father loves you. So God, thank you for your love. Thank you that you've called us according to your grace and mercy, that you've loved us from the beginning of time. So thank you for the security of your love. And I pray for everyone in this room that you would give them a spirit of fearlessness, that they would not worry about going around fear. We're going above fear, but you would give them the strength to go right through that fear in Jesus' name and to be strong and to be courageous, trusting you every step of the way. We love you, God. Thank you for setting us free from all these fears. We pray that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit. Fan into flame the gift of God that is within us. Fan into flame power. Fan into flame love. Fan into flame strength and discipline. We ask that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We will not be afraid. Trust him. Trust him today. Sing this song.